Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you, Gabriel and Sammy. Powerful music. Austin, thank you for inviting me to preach. I love this congregation. I love each of you. And delighted to see new faces that were not here when I was here. Today we're going to be looking at a parable by Jesus that helps us to understand different responses of the heart. A major point that Jesus made with his parable is that there will always be mixed responses to the gospel of Jesus. I thought about that as I was sitting in Lawrence's class, and the current lesson in several of our Sunday school classes are the mixed response to the gospel message presented by Paul and Barnabas. You're going to see that in next week's lesson and others during his missionary journeys. When I think about the powerful hymn that we just heard and sang, it can be surprising to us that anybody could miss the message in that song and in Scripture. And yet there are mixed responses. In this particular parable of the sower and the soils, the first three soils represent non-Christians. However, I think that if you're like me, that sometimes Christians will see a part of themselves in these soils that reflect non-Christians, and God can use when we see that in ourselves to convict us and to help us to grow. The Lord's ultimate purpose in this particular parable is that we people would respond to the gospel message, and that ultimately all of us would be fruitful as we respond in belief and obedience to Jesus. If you're able, would you please stand in honor of God's word as I read from Mark chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 9 and then verses 14 through 20 where he explains his parable. Again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So Jesus got into a boat on the sea and set out while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. Jesus taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen." You hear that? Listen. "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. And then Jesus said, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." Verse 14. 13, Jesus said to them, then 14, the sower sows the word. Some are the word sown on the path, and when they hear immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root, and they are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns. Those are the words who hear the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those people like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. You may be seated. Jesus is using an agricultural image for this parable. Those who are city dwellers don't see this image often, but the people that he was speaking to would be very familiar. They'd be familiar with a farmer who would plant a seed by having a bag thrown over his shoulder, and as he went about his field, he'd be casting the seed on the field that he prepared, recognizing that there were portions of the field where there would not be growth. But the farmer would sow enough seed in the good soil to have a good harvest. In verse 14, Jesus began to explain the parable, and he said, the sower sows the word. The seed is not just grain, not just seed. It is the word. And Jesus was clarifying that the seed is his message. The seed in this parable is the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the sower in this parable is really Jesus himself, as he is preaching and teaching to that crowd and in other settings. But in the broader sense, the sower in this parable can be any of us who give our testimony of how Jesus has come into our lives and has worked in our lives as he has saved us and continues to transform us. We are sowers. We are messengers of the good news of Jesus. Sometimes the parable is called the parable of the soils. I like to call it responses of the heart. The soils represent the people in the crowds who were coming by the thousands to Jesus to see and to hear Jesus. And Jesus is making a clear point about the various responses of people to himself and to his message. There are some examples that help me to be able to understand this parable. Those examples can include email spam, junk mail, and newspaper ads. Most of us hope that whatever email server we have will screen out all the spam that comes, but if you're like me, occasionally one will make it through. And I mark it report spam and make sure I don't open it. But those who send those are hoping that somebody will open it. Some people are like me that when I open my mail, I usually stand close to the trash and the recycle and immediately recycle or throw away any junk mail. And there's plenty, probably 80% of what I receive. When I used to get a paper edition of the newspaper, I would especially the Sunday newspaper, thick. I would sit down and the first thing I would do was separate out all the ads, set it aside for recycle before I ever began to read in the paper. Some people are not like me. Some look through the ads and intend to buy something, but they get preoccupied and don't do it. And others review the ads very carefully, and some of them actually buy something. I have heard that those who advertise through spam email, junk mail, and newspaper ads really expect only a 1% response. For many of those, I hope it's much less. I want us to look at these four soils and see what responses of the heart we can learn from this parable of Jesus. First is the response of hard hearts. The fields were laid out in narrow strips with paths between for a right-of-way, a place to walk. It was not just a place for the farmer to walk, but also travelers to be able to move through the field without stomping on freshly planted soil. So Mark 4:4, Jesus said, as a sower sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. The ground was trampled so hard on the path that the seed could not find any soil to germinate or take root, to sprout or grow. It'd be like if I had some seed here and I cast it on the floor here in this worship center and expecting it to grow, I would not, would I? And you would not. Since there was no soil, the birds would eat that seed on the surface. In verse 15, Jesus explains this particular part of the parable. Some people are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. No soil means hard hearts when they hear us tell about Jesus. The mind and the heart are so closed and hardened that they have become unresponsive to the good news of the gospel. Like the birds in the field eating from the past, Satan keeps the word from penetrating a hard heart. What are some of the causes of hard and unresponsive hearts? One is prejudice. Some people have a prejudice or a bitterness against God because of a bad experience with a Christian or thinking about hypocrites in the church. Pride is a serious issue for hard hearts. A prideful person can feel so good about their morality and self-sufficiency that it's difficult for a person like that to admit any need for God. And of course, there's immorality. There's an immoral person is not likely to respond to God. They will close their heart to God because they already know that God would not approve of their behavior, and they do not want to change. A major cause of hard hearts is fear of new truth. Some people are bound by culture and their background and their traditions. Let's think about the audience that Jesus was speaking to, that Paul and Barnabas were speaking to on their missionary journeys. Paul and Barnabas would go to a synagogue, they would reach some people who were open to the possibility that Jesus was the Messiah, but others had hard hearts because the Jewish leaders had told them Jesus could not be the Messiah. To this day, it is very difficult. The Jewish people are very resistant to the gospel because they still cannot admit that Jesus possibly could be their Messiah. Another example are the Buddhists in Japan or Thailand, who are very resistant to hearing the gospel of Jesus because they are bound by their tradition and their family background in intense Buddhism that completely rejects the good news of Jesus. Muslims in the Middle East and Asia and Africa, and even in our own nation, are very resistant to hearing the gospel of Jesus. Well, they'll accept him as a prophet, but not as the Son of God, God himself, Messiah. People in China or North Korea and other communist nations have been raised in atheistic communism and are very resistant to the good news of the gospel. They are bound by the tradition and what they have been taught. When we come to Europe and much of the United States, there's just lack of attention. People ignore God's word and hear it only casually. The gospel of Jesus cannot penetrate their hearts. These reasons cause people to be so blind and calloused that a person cannot hear what God has to say. In his immediate situation, Jesus was applying this parable to those who were like the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who were so hard-hearted, they attributed Jesus' healing ministry to Satan. But I want to remind you that although the hard-hearted can be unresponsive, and it is very difficult to be able to communicate the gospel to them, we must always remember Exhibit A of that description. Saul, later called Paul. He was an example of a hard-hearted person who was resistant and believed he was serving God by obliterating the followers of Jesus. When God broke through his hard heart and he was radically changed. God can break through hard hearts. Don't give up. Continue to pray for and share with those family members and friends who are resistant to the gospel. The hardened soil does represent hard hearts that are not responsive to the message of Jesus. It's a reality that we must face, that they will resist and reject the message. The second point in this parable is the response of shallow hearts. Some parts of the field had only a thin layer of soil over a shelf of limestone. It was very difficult for the farmer to prepare those portions of land. It was just too difficult to completely plow it up. Jesus described it this way. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. It grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. And when the sun came up, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Those few inches of soil would warm quickly so that the seeds would germinate quickly. But the plant could not send down any roots deep enough for nourishment and moisture. And therefore the plant would dry up. Then Jesus explained this part of the parable. Other people are like the seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root. They are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. People who are like rocky soil represent shallow hearts who are not believers. Well, what's some of the causes of a shallow and superficial heart? Often a shallow heart thrives just on emotion. The impulsive person responding to the gospel can have a pep rally enthusiasm that quickly disappears. Some people are very good at beginning new things and making new starts in life, but they seldom follow through satisfactorily. Some people like to keep things on the surface so they can be shed for the next new fad. These people do not think things through. They may have a veneer of an active religious life for a season. However, they fall away when they are offended or troubled. This is the difference between burning paper and burning a log. There's an author who wrote, "There's nothing more cheering than transformed people, and there's nothing more disintegrating than people who have been merely brushed by Christianity. People who have been sown with 1,000 seeds, but in whose lives there's no depth and no rootage. Therefore, they fall when the first whirlwind comes along." In his immediate situation, Jesus was applying this to those in the crowd that he knew were there, who only saw him as an amazing healer, but then would quickly turn away. They were not Christians. They were not Christ followers. But this does not have to be a permanent rejection of Jesus. Such people can change to be responsive. God can penetrate shallow hearts. Don't give up. Continue to pray for and share with those family members and those friends who have shallow hearts. The rocky soil represents those shallow hearts that are superficial and are not responsive to the message of Jesus. Jesus had a fourth point, and this is the response of divided hearts. Some parts of the field look clean on the top, but as a result of poor farming, the weeds with their seeds had only been plowed under the surface. And those weed seeds were ready to spring to life with the speed of growth that good seeds could not match. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit." And then in verse 18 and 19, he explains this part of the parable. Other people are like seed sown among thorns, and these are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. People who are like thorny soil represent divided hearts. So what are some of the causes of a divided and a crowded heart? Think about some worries that consume your thoughts. Are you worried about the challenges that come with the aging process, such as decreasing health? Are you anxious about finances or family conflict? Are you anxious about the weather or news reports? Other people are overcome with distractions. Some people are consumed by the deceitfulness of wealth, having money and the stuff that money can buy. They are materialistic. Other people are choked by a desire for the many things that have been advertised or what other people have. Some people are so restless that they are primarily focused on staying busy with leisure activities and other experiences. They have too much going on in their lives to concentrate on what God has to say. Are these worries and distractions choking out the truths of God that He wants to plant in your life? The result is that those with divided and distracted hearts cannot bear fruit. In his immediate situation, Jesus might have been applying this to even to his own family members who were concerned for the family's reputation. We recognize again that this does not have to be a permanent rejection of Jesus. Such people can change to be responsive. God can penetrate a divided heart. Don't give up. Continue to pray for and share with those family members and friends that you know have a divided heart. The first three soils represent those in the crowd who do not become followers of Jesus. They are not Christians. They are not followers because they do not bear fruit. In Matthew 3:8, John the Baptist told the crowds that were following him, produce fruit consistent with repentance. In the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 7:15-21, Jesus said, listen to these words, be on guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. Neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruit. You will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Only the ones who bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, those are sad words for us to hear about family members and friends. But remember, don't give up. Continue to pray for and share with those family members and friends that are hard-hearted and who are shallow and have divided hearts. As I said earlier, I believe the second and third soils can also be a warning to some of us in church who are actively involved. Now, my approach is not to try to get people to doubt their salvation. But I think it can help sometimes for us to ask some challenging questions. Do I have a shallow and a superficial heart? Is there no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in me? If so, this is a sign that I may never receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Do I have a divided and anxious and distracted and crowded heart? Is there no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? If so, this is a sign that I have never received Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. May God speak to your heart about those tough questions. Jesus ends the parable of the soils, the parable of the response of the heart, with one more point, an exciting point. The response of fruitful hearts. Some parts of the field produced a bountiful crop. Jesus said, still other seed fell on good ground and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. In contrast to the rocky, hard path, this soil was soft and therefore the seed could germinate. In contrast to the rocky soil, this soil was deep. And therefore, the seed could find nourishment. In contrast to the thorny soil, this soil was clean, and therefore the seed could grow unhindered. Jesus then explained this part of the parable. Verse 20, those people were like seed sown on good ground. Hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what is sown. Those who are fruitful hear the word and they welcome it. They understand and respond to God's word. They think about through their commitment to Jesus and it lasts. They establish priorities to focus their lives on Jesus so nothing can crowd out their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The end of this, end result, is that they are connected with the source of fruitfulness. They are demonstrating that the fruit of the Spirit is within them because the Spirit of God Himself is in them. Jesus used incredible figures to demonstrate God's awesome power. Many people would like to get a 5 to 10% return on their investment, but Jesus spoke about increases of 3,000% and 6,000% and 10,000%, When the Word of God takes root in a receptive heart, the result is a rich harvest of life transformation seen in godly character. Paul described the character in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These people are willing to follow Jesus, to trust Him, and allow Jesus to produce fruit for His kingdom. And these followers of Jesus become the sowers of the seed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And so in conclusion, the question is, how is your heart responding to Jesus? Verse 9, Jesus said, "Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen." Are we listening to Jesus? What lessons can we learn from listening to this specific parable? Well, here's a few lessons that I've identified. Lesson 1. Sowing the Word of God involves risk of failure. We must recognize that everyone will not respond to Jesus then, would not then, and will not respond to Jesus now. Everyone didn't respond positively to Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journeys. Jesus is making clear that though some seeds may seem wasted, we can be confident that many will respond. The first lesson is that sowing the Word of God involves the real risk of failure. Lesson 2. Christians should cultivate the soil of unbelievers by building relationships with them and by being willing to confront family members and friends. The people represented by the first three soils do not have hearts that are permanently hard and shallow and divided. Again, Exhibit A is the Apostle Paul himself. And we recognize that those who become involved in Bible study, such as Sunday school classes and worship, have a much higher likelihood of responding to Jesus and having a life-transforming relationship with Jesus. Do not underestimate the value of your inviting family members and friends to be a part of this congregation in worship and in the Bible study classes. I want you to write down the names of the people you need to talk to about Jesus. Set a time to call or visit or go for a meal. Pray as God prepares their hearts and guides your conversation. The second lesson is Christians should cultivate the soil of unbelievers by building relationships with them and being willing to confront family members and friends. Lesson 3. If you're not a Christian, open your heart to be receptive to God's Word that offers you forgiveness and salvation. If you do not have a fruitful relationship with Jesus, come to receive Him today as your Lord and Savior. And lesson 4, as a Christian, let God work in and through you for incredible fruitfulness. Let Jesus continue to soften and deepen and clean the soil of your heart. Celebrate the fruit of the Spirit that God has produced in your life and what Jesus is accomplishing through you. At lesson 4, as a Christian, let Jesus work in and through you for incredible fruitfulness. We come to a time of decision. Gabriel, come and lead us in singing. Your pastor will be here to greet you if you choose to come forward and make a decision. But as I've always said to you, it's not just the people who might come and speak to Pastor Austin who are making a decision. Everyone in the congregation must respond to the message that God has communicated to you through these parables. The parable of the sower and the salt and the soils. Let God speak to your heart. Respond to Him. Respond to those lessons that we learn from this. Let me pray with you as Pastor Austin comes. Father in God, thank you for this powerful parable and how you teach us through it. Thank you that you have entered our hearts. You continue to clean the soil of our